Hey, good morning. Welcome from the Roscoe Morton Tower. This is From the Stand. And all week long, we've been talking with aviators, innovators, astronauts, authors. Well, we've had a wide variety of guests, and we'll do the same this hour, the final hour of From the Stand for AirVenture Oshkosh 2015. Wow, this week has gone incredibly fast, but it has been a wonderful week. From the Stand is made possible by the Commemorative Air Force. The mission of the CAF is education so that generations of Americans will value and support the contributions of military aviation in assuring our nation's freedom. With more than 12,000 members operating 162 vintage aircraft, the CAF is the world's largest private air force. You can have more information on the Commemorative Air Force at their website, commemorativeairforce.org, or stop in at Hangar 57 on Boeing Plaza. This morning, we're going to check in with some of the noisemakers here at AirVenture Oshkosh, and one of the, one of the noisiest airplanes that we have here and have had here for years is the U.S. Marine Corps' AV-8B Harrier. And joining us, Captain David Shank, who is one of the demonstration pilots, one of the pilots who flew the airplanes in 2 days ago. Welcome back to Oshkosh.
Thank you very much. It's great being back here.
Good. I understand you've been here before, a little younger than you are now.
I have, a long time ago as a kid.
And how have things changed since that experience versus this one?
It's very, very similar. A lot of aircraft, a lot of great people. So very similar in that aspect, but more airplanes, and I think it's just better. It's great to be here, especially flying the Harrier.
Good. Now, if you were here for the Harrier arrival, David was the one who flew in the third airplane.
That's
actually
great.
Taxied right up into Boeing Plaza.
Yes, sir.
So what was the emotion or thoughts going through your head when you were taxiing up in front of all of us?
Even coming across Lake Michigan there, you can see the smoke from EAA, the stunt pilots doing their thing, and you get butterflies in your stomach just watching that from way out there. And then actually coming in and doing the vertical landing, we're coming in pretty slow, watching all the people running away from the noise. It was kind of funny, but absolutely awesome. Just awesome from my aspect, seeing all these aircraft, all these people coming to watch all the aircraft, so it's great.
Good. What drew you to aviation?
Ever since I was a kid, anything to do with flying. Went up with my uncle once as a kid, fell in love with it, and ever since then, just been chasing flying as much as I can.
All right. For young people who may be listening or on the grounds here, what's a good your recommendation is if they'd like to get into military aviation?
Military aviation. It's a long process. It doesn't happen overnight. They train you hard. You gotta stay in the books, though. That's the best way I can put it. So you stay in the books, stay smart. You'll keep yourself safe, and you'll show them what you got.
Good. How many hours do you have in the Harrier now?
In the Harrier, I've got just about 120.
Okay, and so I understand you're the new addition to the the team here.
That's correct. Yep.
Okay. And so, how long have you been with the demo team?
I've been with them for just over a month now.
Okay. All right. So. How does the Marine Corps select a demo pilot?
It's actually just we're just a regular attack squad, and we're not necessarily demo pilots. It's a specific qual that you can get. So I'm working on getting mine. The two other gentlemen I'm with are the actual qualified pilots for doing it.
All right. Yeah. Talk a little bit about how the Harrier flies. I mean, obviously, with the vertical takeoff and landing.
Yep.
For the most part, it's a conventional jet, but
yes, sir.
You have some other tricks up your sleeve.
Yes, sir. I'm sure, as most of you know, it's a Harrier jump jet. It's designed to take off and land vertically, and also when we're heavily loaded with ordnance or fuel, we can do a short takeoff, whether it be off a boat or out of an expeditionary field, where it's not a conventional 10,000-foot runway. We're talking, 1,000, 2,000 feet. We can get out of there and actually support those Marines on deck. So the whole purpose of this aircraft is carry as much ordnance as we can, get overhead those Marines, and when they need help, we deliver a good product. So. We're completely weaponized, and all our avionics suite and everything is just catered to that.
Good. When you joined the aviation branch of the Marine Corps, what's the training process like? I mean, we've heard a lot about the World War II training, the primary trainers, intermediate, and advanced, but how has it changed?
The Marine Corps is a little bit different, so I can't speak towards the Air Force and stuff, but Marine Corps, we really focus on being a Marine officer. When that comes down to is doing a little more ground training than our Air Force or Army aviation counterparts. So we start out officer candidate school. Every officer has to go through this. If you graduate that, you are going to be a Marine Corps officer. Following that is the basic school, which is 6 months long, and it's a whole long process of how to lead Marines, how to be a Marine Corps officer, and you can actually take a platoon of Marines into combat scenarios and lead them, and use outside agencies if you need them, use their fire teams if you need them. You learn how to be a platoon leader potentially, and that aspect helps us as a Marine Corps pilot. because when I'm up there supporting those Marines, I know how those guys think. I know how they talk. So we can communicate that much better, and I can deliver that ordnance that much better for them. Following the basic school, you go to primary, which is basically just ground school. A lot of knowledge testing, getting the books a lot on that. Following that is primary flight school, and you're flying the T-6 now. Awesome aircraft, single engine turboprop. Following the T-6, that's about a year of training. Just do real basics of flight, nothing crazy. Following that, you go your different aspects. You can either choose helicopters, jets, Ospreys, or C-130s, and so you'll go to those different points. If you, for example, like me, I chose jets. You go T-45 route, which is advanced in Marine, Mississippi, another year-long training. And you get a little more into the weeds. You start learning air surface, you start learning air-to-air dogfighting, that kind of thing. And then finally, you get to the Harrier reg, where you learn how to fly the Harrier, and again, another year. So it's not, like I said, it doesn't happen overnight, but they train you well, and by the end of it, you feel very confident in your capabilities to employ the aircraft as it's meant to be used.
Great. Now, you mentioned the T-6, and I just want to differentiate between the T-6 that we're used to here, the T-6, the North American Texan, or they're Harvard from Canada, versus the T-6 that you're flying now. That's completely different aircraft.
Very different. It looks a little similar. It's a little bit smaller than the conventional T-6. We're flying the Texan 2. It's a turboprop and smaller, and it's got a really nice avionics suite in it, and it's a great trainer, though.
Great. Wonderful. What, as you're coming in, you're doing your approach to landing and thing. It's pretty conventional for the most part. But when you go to the vertical mode, how is that different, and what are you doing in the cockpit to make that happen?
It's very, very it's very tricky. It's a lot of finesse. So I've flown, conventional aircraft, and then I've obviously flown this guy. And that transition from conventional flight, or what we call wing-borne flight, to the engine, where you're just relying solely on the engine, or jet-borne flight, as we call it, it's a very tricky area. So we fly conventionally, in the pattern around 120 knots, nothing spectacular. And then when we see our landing point, we'll assess how far away it is, how fast I am, and then we're going to select hover stop on our nozzles. So real quick, you got your normal stick and throttle, but then you also have in the Harrier an additional lever which controls the nozzle angle. So full forward means you want to go fast. That's conventional. The nozzle is going to be pointing aft. You're going to be going real quick. And then when you want to go to hover stop, you're going to pull that lever towards you nice and slow. And you just point directly 90 degrees down to direct that thrust down. So now obviously you're going to be 120 knots decelerating to eventually zero. So it's a very, very tricky where you're losing the lift over the wings eventually, and then you're on the engine solely. So it's a lot of finesse, feeling where the aircraft is, and making sure you don't go hover stop too soon or too late and you miss your spot.
Okay. And as you're doing that, is it all with thrust, or are you using aileron and rudder at the same time?
You'll lose aileron effectiveness once you lose that wind over the wings.
Right.
So we have reaction control system. It's bleed air routed from the engine to different points on the aircraft that actually shoots up or down, depending on if I want to push the nose down, pull it up, or go left or right. So that's how we use it in jet-borne flight.
Okay, so that's how you do when you're doing the demonstration, you bow up and down and rock back and forth.
It's just directed air going up or down or whatever direction we push it.
Excellent. How long have the Harriers been in operation?
We've been going for quite some time. The jet I flew here Friday was, it's older than me. So it's up there. We're talking mid-80s on that jet. And then it's actually been flying since late 70s.
Okay. And I know in the mid-80s, we had a number of years of consecutive Harrier demonstrations here.
Yes, sir.
And was always a crowd favorite. And
we're
really glad to have you back.
We are absolutely honored to be back here.
You'll be flying demonstrations, or your team will be flying demonstrations today and tomorrow, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. And how much briefing or work do you have to put in? I mean, you've got to, it's about a 10-12 minute demonstration. But how much work do you put in before and after?
It's not something that you can just hop on the jet and go. There's a lot of coordination with not only all these aircraft here at the airfield, but you got to coordinate with your maintenance crew so they know what's going on. You got to coordinate how you're getting to the runway. This aircraft is really FOD sensitive, foreign object debris. It'll suck up anything. So we have to plan our routes ahead of time and put a lot of thought into what we're doing, because it's not something that we can just jump and go.
Good. And let's put in a plug for your ground crew. I mean, you're the one in the spotlight. You get to fly the airplane, but there's quite a few people that help make that possible.
I can't say enough, especially my jet. I came in, I had some avionics issues, overheating, so I couldn't do anything spectacular for you guys, but landed real quick. As soon as we got the jet over in the stack display, those Marines are tearing apart, and they're working hard, so we're trying to get it back up.
Excellent, excellent. Appreciate you being with us this morning, Captain David Shank, who is here with the AV Navy 8B Harrier, and they'll be doing demonstrations today and tomorrow during the air show. And you also have an airplane on static display at Boeing Plaza. You'll be around the airplane to answer questions?
I will.
All right. We'll look for you there. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more From the Stand on EIA Radio.